Welcome to Revelation Warning, a weekly podcast hosted by Pastor Robert Thibodeau as he interviews prophecy experts from around the world as we discuss current events in relation to Bible prophecy. All of this is to give the world a final Revelation Warning. Now, here is your host with this week's guest, Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Revelation Warning Podcast. We are so blessed that you're joining us here today as we continue our discussion with our good friend Scott Wright on end time scenarios. And we've been going through some good stuff lately. So if you missed any of it, go back and catch up, because today we're going to be talking about, well, let's just say, fire and water. Do they mix, or are they mutually exclusive? We're going to find out today. Help me welcome the program, Scott Wright. Scott, it's good to talk to you again, buddy.
Hey, it's great to be here and looking forward to another fun, fruitful discussion.
Amen, amen. Now, today we're going to center the discussion around 2 Peter chapter 3 and talk about water. And I'm just going to let you take it from here, because I know, you know, fire and water don't mix, but yet God's going to figure out a way to make it happen. Go ahead. So,
2 Peter 3 starts, and it's basically talking about the coming judgment, which obviously impacts us this day. But he also compares it back to the days of Noah. And we've talked, you and I have been talking about the days of Noah. So God used water to destroy the earth. But water is also a nourishment of life. So, you know, fire is the same way. Fire can be used to heat to heat things, to cook things. You know, we're not supposed to eat the raw flesh and the blood of animals. We're supposed to cook it, which you cook that by fire and heat that up. But fire can also be used to destroy things. And so God used water in the first destruction of the earth. When he destroyed the earth the first time, he used water. And he promised through Noah that he would never do this again. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's the covenant of the rainbow that he made with Noah. And so water and never again would be used to do that. It would be used simply to help, to basically to be a nourishment. Now, does that not mean that there's not still some flooding, or somebody doesn't drown in a lake or a river or whatever, mm-hmm. or in the ocean? That still can happen, obviously. But the earth is not going to be totally destroyed ever again by water. However, it isn't the second time it's going to be done by fire. And think about fire. Fire is used to test the elements, is it not? Yeah. You know, if we took gold, it's refined in fire to purify it. Well, the earth is going to be refined by fire, and everything is going to be tested by the fire. And both Moses and Paul call God an all-consuming fire.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. God is represented by fire.
Yeah.
The fire of God.
You know? I mean, we call God, the first thing you call God is truth. I mean, really, if you want to say what his name is, the first thing his name is, it's truth. And then it's holy. You know, but then at some point, his name is fire.
Yeah.
His name is just. His name is love. His name is righteousness. You know, you start thinking about those things. His name is creator, but his name is also fire. He is an all-consuming fire.
Yep.
And he, you know, I have a saying that I like to use, and I don't know if I've used it on this show, but I have used it in my writings, and I'll use it here. The word of God is a fire. You can submit and surrender to it, or you can be devoured by it.
Yeah.
It's your choice.
Yeah.
But that fire of God, in one way or another, is either useful to you, or it will destroy you. And it's the same thing in the coming judgment. And Peter is talking about that here. He's talking about, and it says right here, if we if we just dive in, he said, starting with verse 5, 2 Peter 3, but they deliberately overlook the fact that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world of that time perished in the flood. And by that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So he uses
Let me interrupt you for a second there.
Because,
you know, at the same time, let's say a flood is sweeping through town. Some people can survive it by getting in a boat and going with the flow, I guess you could say.
Yep.
With a fire, there ain't, you know, you can't ride a fire out.
No.
It's going to consume what it was, whatever is in its path.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, here, Noah and the people on the boat, he got through the flood.
Yep.
Okay. Know that. So judgment came. Everyone who wasn't in the boat perished, but there were some that were on the boat. This time when a fire comes through, if you're still here, it is not good.
No.
You need, the only way you're going to escape this all-consuming fire is to actually literally be taken out of the earth. That's it. Because the fire is not going to, you can't ride the fire out. You know, you can bury yourself in a bunker and you may not be burned, but guess what? It's going to suck all the oxygen out of that.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to breathe.
Die anyway. Yeah, you're going to die anyway, you know? So, I mean, yeah. Okay. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, those are great points. And so that is so true. And fire, when we say that God is an all-consuming fire, it means all-consuming. It consumes everything. There's nothing that is hidden from God. There's nothing that the fire won't touch. There's nothing it won't destroy. When he breathes his holy fire, it will wipe out everything. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. As a matter of fact, if you go all the way down in 1 Peter and you go down to verse 13, but in keeping with God's promises, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness Amen. Dwells. But the verse right before that, as you anticipate and hasten the coming of the day of the God, when the heavens will be destroyed by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. Well, I mean, that again is totally describing this.
Yeah.
And that fire will consume everything.
When they were testing the nuclear weapons, they were worried about that verse because they said it's going to be so hot. Is it just going to be, you know, catching the atmosphere on fire and we won't be able to stop it? That was one of their concerns.
Yeah, it was. I think if you watch one of those movies, I can't remember which one it is about that. I think General Groves asks Oppenheimer, so what is exactly this going to look like? He said, well, there is a small chance that when this thing starts, it won't stop. He goes, like, what kind of a chance? 1%. He said, I want 0%. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear 0%.
Yeah, so. Fortunately, that didn't happen.
But no.
They didn't know until here goes. You just picture him closing, you know, like,
yeah.
Okay, we're still here.
10, 9, 8, 7. You feel a countdown, and it's like,
yeah.
That or you're white knuckling it. You're grabbing the sides and white knuckling
it. They had no idea what was going to happen. They just knew it was going to be bad.
And it was coming, and there was nothing. Once they got down to those final countdowns, they know there was nothing that was going to stop it. So,
yeah.
And of course, I mean, the pressure of getting it done at that time was immense.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happened. And fortunately, it didn't continue. It, you know, it did have an ending point. So I know it turned the sand to glass.
Yeah.
So,
amen. Amen.
And it melted things and heated things at insane rates.
Third or fourth generation of that bomb. I was reading that, you know, they had to change the flight pattern of the planes that delivered, you know, the plane that delivered it, because it was going to be so big the plane couldn't fly fast enough to get it to escape what the shock wave that was coming, you know, and they had to figure out a way of doing that. So they had a special flight pattern that had to go on. And I mean, it's, you know, it's just not going to drop a bomb. There's a lot of residual effects. Same thing we're talking about here with the fire and the water. I mean, there's a lot of residual effects. The water, you know, I mean, it washed everything. We got dinosaur bones and stuff on top of mountains and, you know, thing. I mean, that was devastating.
Yes.
This fire, I mean, this fire is going to go from, you know, Mount Everest is going to melt. it's going to be huge.
When you say a scorched earth policy of war, this is taking scorched earth to the extreme.
Yeah. Look at the moon.
Yeah.
Give you an idea what it'll look like. Look at the moon. You know, there's no tree on the moon.
No, there won't be anything left. It'll be totally scorched earth.
Yep.
So, amen. Yeah. So this fire thing is a big deal. And so part of the reason I wanted to talk to people, bring this up, is that God keeps his promises, and sometimes he's slow in keeping those promises because ultimately he does not wish for anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come to salvation. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, go to verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So what is the key? It is to come to repentance. Yep. The key to this entire passage, the key to all the things of the judgments, all the end time prophecies, all these pieces, is that very phrase, come to repentance. The reason God is going to allow the end times, the reason he's going to do all this is because he's wanting people to come to repentance.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about all these terrible judgments that are going to come upon the earth. I mean, we got trumpets and we got bulls and, you know, we got seals being broken and all this stuff. And you know, you hear about the witnesses and fire coming out of their mouths and devouring people who are trying to attack them. Well, guess what? You know what all this is? It all comes down to the same thing, that God is trying to make people repent. They didn't repent with the soft stuff, so now he's got to be dictatorial and fear and drive fear to get people to repent, because that's the only way they'll listen. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's the way most people do listen, is through fear. It's they don't listen. Yeah. People get fat and happy. I mean, they do. Yeah. They get comfortable.
Yeah, and you tell your kids, don't do this, don't do that, go clean your room, take care of this. But you tell it, you know, here's a candy bar, now go clean your room, you know. And you come in 2 hours later, it's still messed up, you know, their face got chocolate all over it. Why didn't you clean your room? Oh, I was playing. Okay, well, here's another piece of candy, now go clean your room. You know. Now what eventually happens is, where's my I'll just say it because that's what it used to happen to me. Where's my whip? My grandfather had a way of really making me understand this. He'd make me go cut my own switch.
Right. That's old school there.
And you didn't want to bring back this little twig, because then it got double play. He go pick one. And you're out there like, oh, man, this is going to hurt. Oh, good Lord. You know, but that's how he taught. And that's what God does. I mean, you know, he tried to do it in a nice way, and because that's what you're going to hear. So, well, God shouldn't do that. You know, he needs to, you know, be gentle and kind and draw more people in. You know, you get more flies with honey, you know, type thing, right? That's what he's been doing since the beginning. And now you got to cut your own switch, you know. And,
you know, if you think about this,
God says, if I go do it and you're still here, it ain't going to be pretty.
No. But if you think back to the Great Awakening, what was the biggest thing that Jonathan Edwards was speaking about? Fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, sinners in the hands of an angry God.
Yeah.
It's one of the most famous sermons of all time. There's nothing soft about that. There's nothing.
That's right.
That's not drawing people to honey. That's, you know, that's you going and having a switch put to your tail.
Amen.
It is. It's like, I mean, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. It is. You know, the Bible tells us this. And so this, when God uses all of this, these terrible judgments, and then eventually, of course, the fire, the scorched earth policy is really one of the ways to think about it. I mean, God is trying to get everybody to come to repentance. And so the fear of that fire coming should make you repent, because and you're talking about this day and age and people not coming to Christ because they're too comfortable. They really are. I mean, that's what a lot of it is. And people are like, eh, I don't need God. I'm good. But what it is, it's a basic, it's forgetting the basic. The basic is that God owns the earth. He is the owner of all things, which makes him the only one that has the right to decide. And he is the only one that has the right to lordship and kingship. Well, if that makes him all those things, that means you don't have the right to decide. You know, we, in our country, in our culture, in the Western way of thinking, we value freedom almost like it's almost idolatrous. We do. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying we do. Mm-hmm. But that is not God's number one value. He wants loyalty to him. Total allegiance and loyalty to him. Yeah. Not to all these things. You know, your loyalty, I know this sounds crazy. It's not even to the church. It's to him. It's to him. You help the church, and you're called to do that, and that is part of being loyal to God. But it's not to a pastor, a priest, a person. It is to the person of God. He is the one you're loyal to. He is the owner. He is the one that owns your heart. He owns your body. He owns your eyes. He owns your mouth, your tongue, your heart, your soul. He has total and complete ownership of all things. There is nothing that he does not own. Everything in your house, all your money is not yours at all. You know, hey, there's a friend of mine that always likes to say, I don't see people when they're being pulled in their hearses to their grave sites with a U-Haul behind with all their stuff in it.
That's right.
There's no U-Hauls behind that hearse. Okay.
That's right.
It's never yours. You're just using it for a time as a resource, but it belongs to God. Everything on the earth, in the earth, every person, every animal, every creature, everything belongs to God. And when we take that view of it, then this is easier to accept. Then you have the correct view, and then you see it how God sees it. And now it looks different to you. If you will read the Word of God with that in mind, what I just described, it will transform the way you read the Word of God. It will transform how you look at life. It will transform how you look at people. Mm-hmm. It will transform every aspect of who you are. That God owns you, and he is the only one with the right to decide. And here he's deciding. And he's deciding that if he's put that element out there, that fire is going to be used. I've already shown you I used water to do this. But now I'm going to use fire that's even more all-consuming than water, as you so eloquently described. Well, guess what? You have a time period here before that fire hits that you can make the right decision. And Peter says the right decision is come to repentance. It is all about that. Coming to repentance. And who do we come through repentance for? Through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Christ is where we're
You know, with the flood, the people in the area could have had a room on that boat.
Absolutely.
Now, that's the reason. He said, this is a testimony. You're building this as a testimony of what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't believe it.
Nope.
Here, we still have an opportunity to get away from that all-consuming fire. Because
absolutely.
Jesus is our exit point.
Yeah, he is.
Accept him, go enter into him, he enters into you escape the fire. But know, just like they found out with the flood, God keeps his promises. And we're going to see these promises kept too. The good news is those who have accepted Christ will be witnessing it from afar. You know,
amen.
Those that like, well, you know, we've been hearing this for 2,000 years. You know, it's okay. It'll take care of itself. Okay.
Man. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my usually my phrase. Sure. Think what you want, but this is what's going to happen. You know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Your heart, if your heart's led by the right things, your heart will understand what God is saying here and it'll embrace it. But if it's not, if it's distracted, it will pull you away. You have to lead your heart. You do. And how do you do that? By intentionally seeking God. When you do that, your heart will start being in the right place. Again, amen. It's who owns you. It's all about ownership. And God is the one that owns. No one else owns anything.
Yep.
We own nothing. We come into the world with nothing and we leave with nothing. So I look at it like this. When I stand before God, God is going to breathe his all-consuming fire on me. I just want Jesus standing in front of me when that all-consuming fire is breathed, so he will absorb it, so it saves me.
Amen. Amen. You know, you mentioned that, and it made me think about a friend of mine. He was a short guy. He was in the Marine Corps in Vietnam, and Arnie Jackson. And Arnie stood all of about 5'2", right? And there is three times that he told me about where he was the only one that came back from patrol alive. Oof. Because they'd walk into an ambush, and the VC had their ambush set where they would try and decapitate the Americans with their machine guns. Arnie was the M60 machine gunner for his squad, and he'd crunch down. All the bullets would go above him, and then he'd open up with the machine gun and do all that. He said three times he was the only one that came back from his patrol alive. And, one time he said he thought, this is it. The attack was so intense. He said, and he looked, and there was a silhouette of a figure in front of him. He called it his angel, that was absorbing all of the bullets.
Wow.
And they were coming so close to it, they were actually cutting his fatigues as the bullets were ripping through him. But every time he'd move, this angel in front of him was mirroring his movements. And then he said, after, two, 3 seconds, the angel turned around, just looked at him like, get out of here, and he turned and took off, but his fatigues had been shredded. The bullets were that close to his skin.
Wow.
And he told me about this. Well, whew, man, this is like mid-70s when he was telling me all this. Just thought about that when you said that, So, I mean, God has the ability to protect you.
Absolutely.
If you're in a situation that you had no control over, but there's always a but. Usually I'm the but that's in the middle of all that stuff. But if you're there of your own choosing, you made a choice.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to choice. You can choose Jesus, or you can choose to believe something else.
Exactly.
And in the end, God will honor that choice.
He will.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
You wanted to stay, you wanted to reject everything I was offering, you made your choice. Go back to the parable that Jesus told about the rich guy that, planted a vineyard and then left another country, left his workers in charge. And he said, okay, it's harvest time. Go see what we got. And they killed the servant, said, I'll send my son. They'll honor him. They killed the son. And then he said, now, what do you think the owner is going to do?
It ain't going to end well for those tenants.
Yeah. And the audience even said, he's going to come back. He's going to deal terribly with these guys. I mean, and he said, and that's what I'm trying to get you to understand, you know? And, so yeah,
Jesus was very point blank with his parables.
He didn't beat around the bush.
No,
he made it. What I loved about with Jesus' storytelling, just like every good storyteller, he gets them leaning forward. Oh, this is good. What's going to happen? And all of a sudden, bam, there it is. And it's, now, what do you do with the truth? You reject it or you embrace it?
I like that. You
know? He get them in and get them in. Oh, yeah, this is good stuff. Oh, he's talking about us. Pharisees didn't like that.
Hey, back then, if they'd had a sledgehammer, he'd have went
dong. Amen. Well, the last couple minutes we got here, what else you got for us in regards to fire and water?
Well, I mean, as far as fire, I cannot reiterate enough. God is an all-consuming fire, and He has chosen as his plan in our end times is that fire will be the final element used to correct all that's been wronged. What fire is truly going to do, it's going to remove sin. It's going to remove all the sinful pieces so he can start all over. Mm-hmm. And he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And, you know, this earth is going to be reformed and sin is going to be gone. There will be no more sin. He will remove the sin, and he will also remove all people and all beings, I should say, that are against him. They will be put in another location and never again to be able to, you know, influence anybody. I mean, that's, you know, here's the thing. And Satan was made in a way that God can't, quote, destroy him. But what God can do is put him where he wants him, which is exactly what he's going to do. That's why hell was created.
Yep.
It truly was. That's why it was created. That's why it's there. That's why it was manifested and made. It was Satan and all the evil angels that rebelled against God. That's what it was made for. So that way they would be separated. It was not made for man. Man was never intended for this.
Yeah.
But it's what exactly, I'm going to just use what you said. It's your choice. Yeah. The choosing is yours. There's Christ or there's the fire. That's it. No other. I mean, and Christ himself said this. He said, don't fear the one that can kill the body. Fear the one that can kill the body and throw you into hell.
Yep. Amen.
I mean, he was very point blank about this. And he talked about hell way more than he talked about heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think that's something for people to consider when they read the red letters that you like to call them. And, you know, we can't escape. Here's what worries me these days is that we like to just pick the parts we want to listen to. We don't listen to all of it. You got to take it all in because God is an all-consuming fire. He is all these things.
Yep.
And we got to embrace all of his character.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Scott, I mean, we can go on and on, but as we're out of time, if someone has a question, they'd like to reach out to you and get more information, how can they get in touch with you?
So you can just email me at tswright@ghnglobal.net. I think we're going to have some pretty interesting news here in about a week or two. But we're also really close to releasing the YouTube channel. We've got a social media marketing experts with us to help us get everything set up. So as it's been a lot slower than we've wanted it to be, but it is moving forward. Now we've got the YouTube channel set up. I've got people on it with me. So we are getting ready to do a full launch. And as you're aware, you guys need to tune in and listen to the next one because we may have some more news that I think you guys may find incredibly interesting.
Amen. Amen. And we'll touch that hopefully next time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Folks, it's been good. You know, Fire, if controlled properly, is useful.
Amen.
God is talking about how he is going to control the fire. It is also going to be useful. Useful for him and useful for the believers, because the fire will eliminate all of the distractions, all of the impurities. Only the best will rise to the top. And that only happens in, through, and by Christ Jesus. That's it. If you want protection from the coming fire, there's only one escape clause in the entire Bible, and his name is Jesus. That's it. He's the only escape clause. You can say, well, I believe this. You can believe what you want. You know, there's some people I know that they believe we're in some kind of matrix thing, you know, where we're assimilation. You know, our lives are a simulation in some big video game. You can believe what you want. But when it all comes down and the fire purges everything, there's only one thing left behind: Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, how does that relate to us? Jesus says, if you are in me and I in you, that's it. We have to accept him into ourselves. He accepts us into him. We are then part of his body. And the fire won't affect him or us. And I'll just let it go with that, as we're out of time for today. Till next, Scott, thanks again for coming on the program again, buddy.
Folks. Great to be here, man. Look forward to more fun, fruitful discussions.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Scott Wright, myself, passing by reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
You have been listening to Revelation Warning with Pastor Robert Thibodeau and his guest expert on Bible prophecy as it relates to current events. This podcast is not designed to invoke fear, but concern. Help us to make everyone aware that the soon return of Jesus is close at hand by clicking the like, subscribe, and then share buttons below. Share this episode with your loved ones, friends, and coworkers. For more information on our ministry, please visit podcasterforchrist.com and be sure to come back next week for another episode of Revelation Warning.